Good morning. God's given us a fine day, amen. So looking forward to the rest of the day. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I want to focus on verses 28 through 29. And while you turn there, let me tell you about the wife who accompanied her husband to the doctor for his annual checkup. And the doctor asked the wife to come into the office. And the doctor said this to his wife: "Your husband is suffering from a variety of severe stress disorders. If you follow my instructions, he will surely live. If you don't, your husband will probably die. Each morning, fix him a healthy breakfast. Be nice to him all day long. For lunch, make him a nutritious meal. Don't burden him with any chores around the house. Don't discuss any problems with him. Do not nag him." I like that one. "And most importantly, love him compassionately. If you do this for the next 12 months, I think your husband will regain his health completely." On the way home from the doctor, the husband asked the wife, "Well, what did the doctor say to you about my checkup?" And the wife said, "He said you're going to die." I like that. I don't know if it relates to my situation, but I like that. This morning, I want to talk to you about being stressed and overburdened. How many of you have ever been stressed or overburdened? How many of you are stressed and overburdened right now? If you're teachers and nurses, you probably are a little stressed right now. I have had people say, I never worry about anything. I've never been stressed about anything. Now, very few people have told me that, but I have had people tell me that. And I just have to ask, what's wrong with you? What kind of medication are you on? You need to change it. I think all of us have handled stress or burdensome some time of our life, and some of us handle it differently than others, but I want you to know that we live in a fallen world. So it's not something alienates to us to be under stress or have burdens or trouble. John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world you'll have what? Trouble. You'll have trouble." And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, hey, could you let somebody else have some of this trouble? You ever feel like that? We all have. But there are a lot of people in this world that seem to have their fair share of stress and burden. I'm not going to point him out today, but I got somebody that's going through some things right now. Oh, man, is he ever going through it? And you know that verse that says that God will not allow us to be given more than what we can handle? And I got to thinking, well, this guy, he's right there. He's right there. I appreciate our Sunday school class. I attend Mike's class. And every Sunday morning, Mike goes around the room, and he says, "How you doing? First of all, how you doing? Life treating you okay?" And most of the time, everybody's doing all right. Every once in a while, somebody's going through some trials and tribulation. And then he says, "Is there anything I can pray for you?" And he has a list. He goes down through it and he prays. Isn't that kind of neat? It's reassuring that we pray for each other, that we care for each other, that we have stresses and burdens that other people can help us carry. Well, in Matthew 11, 28 through 29, look what it says here. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke up on you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And verse 30, if you want to read that, says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, before you go any further, you need to know something about this verse. First of all, Jesus is talking to believers, people that want to follow him, people that have put their faith and their trust in him. He's probably not going to take care of all the non-believers that continue to deny him. He's not going to do that. He's going to take care of the people that put their faith in him. Secondly, we have to talk about the Pharisees here a little bit. They'd put so many rules and so many regulations that it was like a yoke on the people, and they couldn't even hardly move without the Pharisees rebuking them some way, shape, or form. And Jesus says, "Hey, take my yoke, my teaching. It's light. You can handle it." And I don't know about you, but I feel there's a lot of stress in the world today. Don't you? There's a lot of burdens that we're handling right now, not just with the pandemic, but I think it's with families. I think it's with our society. It's with our government. It's even with our churches sometimes. We take on a lot of stress and a lot of burden. And Jesus says, hey, take my yoke. Take my yoke, my teaching, my faithfulness. It's light. Now, in Jesus' day, and still in some countries today, and maybe a few Amish not too far down the road, they will still use yoke. Well, what was a yoke? It was a big old wooden, cumbersome thing that you put on the oxen, and a lot of times you'd have more than one oxen. You'd put them on the team of oxen, so number one, so they'd go in the direction you want them to go, and number two, so they wouldn't get too bogged down with each other, running into each other. And I think some of the Amish even use them today. Right over there, over by Washington. Every once in a while, you'll see them have a yoke out there on their oxen. In Ching's country, there's a few of them that still use yoke for their oxen. But Jesus says, take my yoke, my teaching, my word upon you, and learn from me, because I'm gentle, I'm humble, and you'll find rest for your souls. And when you're going through hard times and stresses in life, one of the best things you can do is open up the Word and read it and pray about it. And I believe that's what Jesus is saying here. My yoke is the Word. Read the yoke. Concentrate on the yoke. Study the yoke, and then pray about it. Now this morning, I want to go over a few burdens that we face today in our world, just like in Jesus' day. And maybe even some of that is multiplied even today. First of all, one of the burdens that we have to burden is financial problems. I've noticed that a lot of businesses are going broke because of the pandemic. I like JCPenney. Has any of you ever read the story of Mr. JCPenney? Very interesting. Now, I don't know if he was a baptized believer in Christ. He seems to go down that road. He seems to be a very faithful Christian. I don't know all the details, but I do know this. He did a lot for people and did a lot for God. And you know what? I try to support JCPenney whenever I can. And I hate to see them go under. I hope they don't. I hope they can revive. But there are a lot of people that are under these financial burdens. Some of you might be here today and you're wondering, how am I going to pay this month's bill? Or you're thinking, how am I going to put one foot in front of the other when it comes to paying this mortgage off? Maybe you're going through that today privately. I don't know. Well, I think a lot of churches are in trouble, don't you? I look around and I look at churches and they have like 10 people come to church. And you know what? That's not only bad on them spiritually, it's also bad on them physically and financially. They're going through hard times. And when we have these burdens of stress because of finances, we get burdened down, bogged down. Number two, secondly, maybe you're here this morning and you have some circumstantial burden. You've been bullied at work, at school. You've been harassed by your boss or your coworker. You're dealing with a relational burden. Maybe you know someone, or maybe even yourself, that have been abused physically, verbally, sexually. It happens, you know. And you're dealing with circumstantial burden. Do you know anybody like that? I do. I had a friend that was sexually harassed by her grandfather, her father, and her brother. You think she has some burdens? Absolutely. But there are circumstantial burdens that we deal with. Third, maybe it's a guilt burden. Something you did 20, 30, 40 years ago, and you're still living with this guilt, and you can't seem to lay it down. You can't seem to get rid of it, and it's killing you. It is a burden that you need to lay down at the feet of Jesus Christ, and you need to learn to accept His forgiveness. Fourth, it might be a physical burden. Any of you deal with physical problems? Is Chris here today? Glad you're here today, Chris. I know you're not feeling that way, that great. But we're glad he's here, amen? I'm sure when Roger was going through his stuff, he didn't feel like being here, but he came because he wanted to worship with us. But I'd like to point more towards the older people, the ones that have a hard time getting out of bed and getting their clothes on and coming to church and staying awake during the sermon, amen? Those people. Maybe it's a physical burden that you're dealing with. One of the things I like about this church is you're very mission-minded, amen? You like mission work, you like support missions. you like to go on a mission trip, and I don't know if this year is going to work it out or not, but in 2021, I'm sure that you're going to want to go on a mission trip. There are older people in this congregation that would love to go on a mission trip, but they can't because of physical ailments. It becomes a burden to them. If they can give with their offerings, they can still help support. Fifth, maybe you're dealing with the loss of a loved one. This is a big one because, you know, I've lost my father. He was only 64 years old whenever he died. When his birthday rolls around, I miss him. When Father's Day rolls around, I miss him. Can any of you relate to this? Maybe you lost a husband or a son or a daughter, and when their birthday rolls around, it's really tough. It's a tough time. It becomes a burden for you. And we have some in this congregation that have lost children. And you know, a parent's not supposed to outlive, a parent's not supposed to outlive their children, right? But sometimes it happens like that. It becomes a burden, and it's something that you have a hard time with. And I could go on and on with these burdens. There are hundreds and even thousands of burdens that we deal with every day in our life, and it's tough dealing with these burdens. So what do we do during hardships? What do we do during stresses? What do we do? Well, let me give you some things on your outline. Follow along if you will. Four remedies for dealing with stress and burden. Number one, accept His personal invitation. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now when Jesus says, "Come to Me," it's not only spiritual, it's also physical. You have to get down on your knees, you have to come to Jesus, and you have to express your burden to Him and give Him all the details because He wants to hear it. Now, I know what you're thinking. Carson, I'm 89 years old, and I can't get down on my knees, and if I could get down on my knees, I can't get right back up. Somebody's got to say amen. Well, I'm getting there myself. My wife will say, "What's wrong?" I said, "I can't get back up. You got to help me." But you know what? I think that's what Jesus is saying. Come to Me. Humble yourself before Me, and then He will hear us. 1 Peter 5:6, write it down. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time." Now, one of the problems we have in the Christian life is we don't humble ourselves near often enough. Oftentimes, we will pray out of routine or habit, but God says, "I want you to humble yourself before Me, before you ever come to Me." In our prayer room out here, we have a kneeling bench. Most people sit on it because they have knee problems. They can't kneel on it. You guys will know if you come Tuesday, it becomes a sitting bench. But that's okay. But God wants us to humble ourselves before Him before we ask of Him for anything. And I don't know about you, but we live in a society that struggles with humility. We think we can handle it on our own. And also, when we handle on our own, we want Jesus to take care of things when? Right now. And He says here in 1 Peter 5:6, He will lift us up in due time. Now, here's what we do as Christians oftentimes. We'll pray to God. We may pray to Him once. We may pray to Him twice. Pray to Him three times. Then what we do? Quit. We say, "God, I prayed to You three times. I want You to answer my prayer." And He says, "Not yet. Not yet. In due time, I'll lift you up." And that's part of the humility process. He's checking us to see if we will continue to pray. I know some people that have prayed 20 and 30 years for the same thing. Have you ever done that? Maybe you have a friend or a relative that's outside of Christ and you continue to pray for them. Keep on praying. Keep on praying and don't ever give up. Because there is an invitation that we need to accept from Him. Secondly, learn to cast all your anxiety on Him. In the very next verse, in 1 Peter 5:7, Peter says, "Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you." Now, what does it mean to cast all your anxieties on Him? When I think of cast, I'm thinking of baseball. Anyone else? I'm thinking baseball. Now, the word "cast" in the Greek is epihipito. Don't say that 100 times. Epihipito. And it's used only one other time in the New Testament. It's Luke 19:35, where it says, "They cast their garments on the colt, and Jesus sat on them." The triumphal entry, right? That's what He's talking about. But here He's saying, "Hey, cast all your anxieties on Me because I care for you." Now, Peter, what was his occupation? He was a fisherman. And in order to get your line out there in the water, you got to do what? You got to cast it out there. And you know what? Sometimes you got to cast it a long way. And I think that's what he was thinking about when he wrote 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. He's casting his line out on the water so that he can catch something. Well, as Christians, we are casting our problems. We are casting our stresses out on the water, if you will, in the direction of Jesus so that he'll take care of him. Now, in James 5, 13, it says, if any of you is in trouble, let him do what? Let him pray. Is any of you happy? Sing songs of praise. We sing a lot. How many of you like music? I have all kinds of music. You want to know? You can write this down. What kind of music does Carson like? I like the old hymns. I like the new praise hymns. I like some rock and roll music. Amen. Some of you were raised during that era. And I even like Beethoven. When I can't sleep, you know what I listen to? Beethoven. I listen to Mozart, Chopin. I listen to those guys. You think I'm crazy? No, that's the only way I can get to sleep because my wife keeps me up all night. But anyway, that's what we do. We listen to music. But here's the thing. Has your mom and dad ever said to you, hey, if you can't sleep, count sheep? I got a new one for you. If you can't sleep, pray. If you're having trouble with your stress-filled life, try praying. Try spending time in God's Word and then try praying. Did you know that the average Christian only prays 3 minutes a day on average? That's a study that's shown there's a lot of truth to that. We don't have any problem singing. How about praying? We need to spend more time in prayer. That's what happens when we cast all of our anxieties on Him and He cares for us. Thirdly, after we've done all that, trust that God will handle your burdens. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is my wife and I's one of our favorite verses. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. He didn't say they would be easy. He said they would be straight. Do you know what we do when we get in trouble as Christians? We think we can handle it. I've been going to church for 54 years. I can handle this. Have you ever heard anybody say, I got this? You ever heard anybody say that? I got this. Or how about this? I've been through a lot. I can handle this. And sometimes I just want to say, no, you can't handle it. You cannot handle it on your own. You cannot handle it without God. And I think that's what we need to tell each other as Christians from time to time. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. You can't handle this situation. You need help. We not only need help from God, sometimes we need professional help from a psychologist or even a psychiatrist. And I think that's what a part of what he's saying here. Get help. Get help from me and get help from others so that you can handle this burden, this stress, this anxiety. By a show of hands, how many of you are independent? Both of you? I know better than that. My wife says this, you are so independent. And you know what I say? What any red-blooded American say, so are you. But we are, aren't we? We're very independent, and we think we can handle anything that comes our way, and I just want you to know sometimes you can't. So let's take it a step further. You're not only independent, sometimes you're stubbornly independent. And sometimes she calls me stubborn, and I've heard your spouses call you guys stubborn as well. We deal with that in our society. We are very independent. We are very stubborn. And that is one of the worst things that can happen if you want God to take care of your anxiety and your stress. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. Trust Him. Trust Him and He will take care of your problems. I love the old song by Annie Johnson Flint. See if you've ever heard it. God hath not promised skies always blue. If I can find it. Flower-strewn pathways all their lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised for the day is rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, and help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. You ever read that? There's a lot of truth to that. And I believe that Annie Flint was right. We live in a fallen world, and we need God's help if we're going to make it. Fourth and finally, we need to learn to leave our burdens on the burden bearer. Psalm 55, 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Now, what's it mean, the Lord will sustain you? What it means is the Lord will strengthen you. That's exactly what it means. And when we come to Him, we need to ask for strength. And when you go through trials and tribulations and burden, God wants to make you strong. One of the best ways to go through a trial or a tribulation is experience. When you've experienced that and someone else goes through that trial or tribulation, you know you've been through there and you can help them through their trial and tribulation. One of the things that I do when someone comes to me, I'm going to use an example for like a death of a child. I've never lost a child. I'll say, you know what? I know somebody that has. Will you please go talk to them? You ever do that? We don't always. A lot of times we try to handle the situation, but we need to transfer to someone else and let them help with that ministry. We need each other. Psalm 68:19 says, Praise be to the Lord, the God and our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. God doesn't just bear your burden every once in a while. He bears your burden every single day of our lives, and I'm glad about that. Some of you battle things every day. You have to deal with them every day, and you can't get past them. But here's what Jesus is saying. When you deal with this burden, learn to give it to me, trust it to me, and then here, lay it down. Get rid of it. Don't raise your hand, but how many have been dealing with something for years and years and years and years? You have a hard time giving it to him. You have a hard time trusting it to him, and you definitely have a hard time laying it at his feet. Jesus wants you to do that. He wants you to put his complete faith and trust in him. Friends, I want you to know today that if Jesus is willing to bear all of our sins on the cross, I believe he's certainly willing to bear all of your burdens. Amen? You believe that? He wants to do that. Accept his personal invitation. Cast all your anxieties on him. Trust that the Lord will handle your problems, and then leave your burdens on the burden bearer. I want to finish this morning with a story. The name Horatio Spafford probably doesn't mean anything to you. But let me tell you a little bit about Horatio Spafford. He was a successful businessman in Chicago back in the late 1800s. And his wife was named Anna, and he had four daughters, and he had a son. In 1870, his son died from scarlet fever. Died. Only son he ever had. He lost. Died. And in 1871, anybody remember what happened in Chicago? The Great Chicago Fire destroyed most of Chicago in 1871. Well, Horatio Spafford was one of those businessmen that lost almost everything he had, including his life savings. He was also a great fan of Dwight L. Moody, who preached during that era. Well, he was going to accompany Dwight L. Moody to England on one of his preaching excursions, but it couldn't go. He had to take care of some business back in Chicago. So he sent his wife and daughters over to England on a ship. Well, during that voyage, that ship was struck by another ship, sinking that boat and killing over 200 people. Guess who was involved in being killed in that shipwreck? Horatio Spafford's four daughters perished. When his wife reached England, she wrote back, saved alone, to her husband, Horatio, who was still in Chicago. On the very next voyage that he could get on, he made his way over to England, and when they came to the place where the boat had got hit and sunk, they stopped in memory of those that had lost their lives, including Horatio's four daughters. And Horatio Spafford penned these words as they passed those waters, and he looked down in the watery graves where his daughters took their last breath, and he wrote this song, "It is well with my soul." You ever heard it? You ever sang it? Now I want you to think about that for a little bit. He's lost his son. He's lost his four daughters. All he has left is his wife, and he writes this song, "It is well with my soul." How could that man, after that dramatic of loss, write something like that? "It is well with my soul, when peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast cost me to say," something like that. It is well with my soul. You know what I think it is? A right relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only way he could go through a traumatic experience like that, a stress, a loss, a burden like that. Only with Jesus could that have ever happened. As we come to our invitation hymn this morning, I have to ask you. I want you to take all those stresses and all those burdens that you've been going through, maybe present, past. And I want you to think about this. Ask yourself the question, is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? When you lay your head down at night, can you sleep soundly because you have a right relationship with Jesus Christ? It is well with my soul. Let's pray together. Father, when I read stories like this, I have a hard time. Because, man, what a major loss that men like Horatio Spafford went through. Lord, I know that there's people here today that have gone through some dramatic experiences, stresses and burdens, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help them to trust in you, to lay whatever those stresses and burdens are, to lay them at your feet, and then to trust that you'll take care of them. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, help us to realize that if you died for us, you also want to care for us. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has a burden, I pray that you'll help them to walk forward and ask for prayer and ask to lay that burden at your feet. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stand with us.